All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 58, as it were.
Yeah.
I remember this week. I didn't have to reference Discord at all. It was fine.
Yeah.
I am your host, Blue Squadron, joined, as always, by Blonde Bear.
Hello, I'm Blonde Bear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear, where I'm working on that merchant rain.
Still working on it.
No.
And my boy Jaycoon.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon. I'm an Awakening Wisdom Main with 765 gear score. I do a lot of endgame PvE content, such as Olin's Valley. The dungeons. I'm currently preparing. I'm doing the Marnie stones right now. I finally collected all of the stones, and so we're working towards that. And you can find me over at twitch.tv slash Jaycoon VT, V before the T.
All right, right on. Mm-hmm. And the topics of the day, I definitely know them for sure. I was not occupied with other things. The first thing we're going to talk about is item availability and versus item exclusivity. And you know what, Jay? I'm feeling generous. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and let you take the lead on this one.
So I wanted to talk about this topic now that BDO is currently in a time where items that were considered really difficult to get are now becoming more and more available. You know, in its history, even getting, you know, a tet accessory was this big, fantastical feat. And now they're kind of just given away in the form of pen kaposhas, pen black stars, although they're still very difficult to get, are much more available than before, and making their ways into the hands of Tuvala Timmies through the free tet black stars. And now, recently, like a day or two ago, I started seeing pen Deborekas sit on the market on the EU servers, surprisingly. And so I wanted to ask you guys, like, do you think these certain items that were much more difficult to acquire back then, like pen black stars, pen Deborekas, C10 horses, do they lose, you know, value in your guys' eyes, or do they still like remain an awesome feat to have acquired for you? And I can start us off with, for me, I kind of relate to the feeling of your achievements of acquiring something exclusive that is maybe a little bit devalued due to many people having the same thing. And this was kind of very much the case for the Urzeka armor for me, which was, I was one of the very first people to acquire it due to limited people at the time being able to grind the spots to drop it, which were Olin's Valley and Ash Forest. I used to feel really special wearing it around. And I always tell this funny moment in the past where I was flipping my farms with the Urzeka armor on, and someone was asking me what costume it was that I was wearing. And I replied, La Urzeka. And then they started speaking Spanish to me, thinking that I replied in Spanish, and then it quickly clarified that that was the name of the costume, which goes to show how rare it was at the time.
It's the La Urzeka. Ah, hola, La señor. Yeah, ¿cómo estás?
Yeah. Maybe I gave off a Spanish flair or something. I don't know. But there's a lot of people walking around with it on, and, you know, I do feel a little bit less special, but I do think that for the most part, the way I acquired my items, they still remain as something meritable, since it was done during the time that the item was difficult to acquire. And for example, for those who don't know, I enhanced my pen black star back in 2020, which, you know, no one was running around with pen black stars, and the amount sold was pretty much in the single digits at the time. And I had worked towards acquiring it by doing my 30k quest to get the 300 stack and saving as much crons as possible, which I think I used about 50,000 crons to get it, which was a lot of crons to save that back then. And also even in today's, right, 50,000 crons is still a lot. And so, yeah, I mean, I went on and on. But what do you guys think? Do you guys feel like the items you have nowadays feel less valuable or feel less special, or do they still hold a lot of like meaning and value to you personally in the journey you took to acquire it?
Blonde, I'll let you go first on it.
I think when it comes to La Urzeka, these are these moments where you have like sort of like it's like a mini FOMO. Right, new content comes out specifically for the Olin's La Urzeka costume. When that was announced, I had people that weren't really interested in grinding so much. They were more like PvP heads, and they saw that outfit and they were like, dang, this is pretty cool. This outfit looks sick. You know, if you had a black star, even if it was Tet, you wanted that outfit because it kind of had the same sort of aesthetic. It was a really edgy looking costume.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good on like everybody. So it's like one of those things where when it came out, Olin's was like a top end game spot, you know, everything kind of basically killed you. The gear was a lot lower. And I feel like that sort of mini FOMO motivates people to go for these things. And I think that obviously with an item that is kind of exclusive because at the time it has like really high requirements. I think that when you go for those things, like, it's more so the, and you know, it's corny to say this, but it's really the memories along the way of getting those things are more valuable yeah, than the actual along the thing. Way. Right. Yeah. That kind of thing is more valuable than the item itself over time. Obviously, I think it kind of, you know, kind of gets a little rusty over time, but I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. That's just the nature of the game to develop, to like kind of just reach that over time. I think that... I'm not more so upset that like over time more people have gotten it, so it's less exclusive, because there are other more exclusive items that people still haven't even gotten yet. I just think that it's one of those things that like, okay, this is like sort of like the potions. They were really, really exclusive until they made systems to make it easier. I think that it kind of seems like there's like different tiers of rarity, and some things naturally, as more time goes on, more people will acquire it because it's motivating to do so. And nowadays, Olin's is a pretty regular spot people like to go to. So I think in the costumes case, I'm not too upset, or it's just natural for it to sort of devalue, but I still wear it on like almost all my alts. It's like I have every single alt with a Orzeca costume, every brand new character that comes out, every new class. First costume going on that is an Orzeca, and like, you know, being able to say you can do that is pretty cool, because most people always, when the first class comes out, they always want to see that, you know, oh man, I want to see the Orzeca on this costume. Is it long cape? Is it short cape? Is it the split cape? You know, people always ask those questions, and I think for that it's kind of tough. I think I'll go ahead and let Blue speak on the Law Orzeca, because I have other stuff to say about other items in the game, but I don't want to railroad it.
No, you're good. I personally think that BDO as a game does a remarkable job of making your progress feel like meaningful long term. Even after years of not logging in, you still feel like the progress that you made back in 2017 or 2018 was relevant. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like my progress, like the contribution, the energy gains, yes, your gear becomes a little less relevant over time for sure, but like it does a good job of kind of holding on to like the feeling, that feeling of progression. Now, that being said, things like the La Orzeca set, they've become less exotic is the word I'm looking for. But yeah, I think that there's word, this there's a really easy way to fix this, and Naraka Blade Point does this, where if you have, if you collect like 10 of one skin, you can make like a super version of that skin.
Ooh,
in this case, like Super Saiyan Orzeca. You know what I mean? Like if you got 10 Orzeca sets or something, right? It changed colors and it gave you a better title, or like a cooler title. If you got 100 Orzecas,
so cool.
Yes, if you got like 100 Orzecas, now you got like the cool, you know, the blue and like black the version exclusive or whatever. Yeah, the exclusive version. You know what I mean? Like, so this is actually pretty easy to fix. And again, it doesn't really devalue the older Orzeca set. But like, you know, the players that have been kind of working a lot on it can kind of work towards that goal and also be a long-term goal too. I don't know. What do you guys feel about that?
That would be really cool.
That would be awesome.
I think that is a sort of an easy fix. Yeah. Because then, you know, the people still want to go for the other ones, but then there's like sort of a tiered progression to where you can get more and more and more. And then, you know, when you see the guy with like the spiky Orzeca costume or whatever, the variant they get when they put a lot more, you know, grind into it, I feel like then it's like, oh man, they've tiered up that costume, so now they're even more and more. And, you know, I think that's a, because BDO does such a good job, and this is what I was going to branch onto earlier, is they do such a good job of like, yeah, the scaling of gear and stuff over time does like a really, really, really good job of, you know, everything is always relevant. Even if you've taken a break for a year, you can come back and still feel relevant. You may not feel as relevant if you're comparing yourself to the top 0.01%, but you're relevant in like the entire total scape. You can still experience almost all the content. And I kind of wish they would do that with more items. Like, could you imagine like a reduced cooldown compass or a telescope if you added like another set of the items together, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, this is like the lowest effort. We're asking for like the lowest effort content in the entire world.
It wouldn't even take that much.
We're asking for like a reskin. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, this is the upgraded Sparkle version, and like some intern took like 2 seconds in to do it. They could patch it in right away. Like, I think that
just
yeah, bro. Like, It would be sick.
People have known about the legendary items for a long time, and they're still pretty exclusive. I think people kind of value the compass and stuff a little bit less sometimes because you can travel so fast now. So, like, because of the well, it's more like, this goes on my shelf. It's you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a novelty less than it is like a rarity. But I still feel like the map is one of the most relevant treasures throughout all the time, you know, because of the fact that you can teleport to town, dump your weight or whatever, and then go back. I think that's invaluable to a lot of people. But I wanted to kind of branch this off into when we talk about items and progression and exclusivity. You know, it's kind of interesting with the gear progression how back in the day, and you know, this is just the natural progression of the game. I remember back in the day when, like, you know, people had blue and green accessories, right? We had like Marks of Shadows and Witch's Earrings, people were at, you know, Pry and Duo and Try, and like you wouldn't really go for Ted at the time unless you were crazy. And then I remember I think it was Orca or someone had like one of the first like ogre rings that was like really highly enhanced, and people linked that in world chat, and it was like unreal because there were no yellow sort of items in the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, as our progression gets to a certain point, I don't feel like we're ever going to reach that sort of Pry, Duo, Try era anymore. They've kind of done it with the Black Star gear, or not the Black Star, the Fallen God gear, where like, depending on what stage of the game, you're at a Pry, Duo, Try, or you even go for Tet if you're like further end game, you know, when you have the economy to push that. But I feel like, I don't know if we'll ever return to a Pry, Duo, Try accessory era because of just sort of how the game's developed. Like, could you imagine a new item dropping and we only get it to like Pry? I feel like they would have to change the enhancing system because the rates are just at a point where I don't think it's possible unless they like tier it differently. I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever return to that because people are already looking at, for example, the Debo earrings as progression and stuff like people are already looking and mathing it out. Oh, okay, I'm gonna get a Tet version of these. You know what I mean? You know, that's gonna be pretty crazy.
What do you think about items like the Shining Alchemy Stone, where it's still like a unicorn out in the world, but like you like there's no, if someone links that, you're like, you know,
that's a lottery winner, a literal one in a bajillion lottery winner.
One in a bajillion, yeah. Do we want those? I mean, we kind of do have those things with Pen Fallen God in a way, where that's like a one in a bajillion thing.
Are you kidding me?
Do we want one out of a thousand?
It's only really one
of course we want those things. We're playing an MMO. What are we even talking about right now? All MMO players want to do is flex how much time they haven't spent outside. Okay, and like, how many of us, and how many times have we all gone through this thing? Let's link the rarest item in our inventories, right? Yes. I walk around with those items so that at any point I can ping the Infinity Stones at people. You know what I mean? I have like the super rare items, and I have like an escalating system to like bait them into it, and then I win every time at the end, right? Like they'll link a potion, and then I'll link the map, and then they'll link the compass, and then they'll link the merchant, and then I'll, you know, like whatever. And then the second that they have something that I don't, I just link that little item that allows you to crouch during Node War that that I have and no one else has. You know what I mean? And boom, I've already won. Okay, I just bait them into it. That's how it works. You're trying to bait your friends so that you can flex on them harder. It's all about that EPing, which is also a reason why we need to have a system in the game so that we can investigate other players' gears. Like we want to see people's outfits, there's gears, their combat level, like all that stuff. We want to see an inspect feature so that we can walk around town and inspect people. Inspect
counter. So you'll know how many people have inspected you, you know?
You know, I know you love this game, RuneScape Blue. It has the same function. You can actually, like, look up players by name, and it'll show all their account achievements. Like, it could show, like, how many dungeon runs you've done. It could show how many treasures you've collected. It could show... they could really do, like, a lot. That would be really, really cool. Like, on RuneScape, if I wanted to know, like, what levels my friends are at with their life skills, I could just look that up. I know the website has that, but could you imagine if it was, like, more account-wide with other stuff? That would be so cool.
That would be super sick. I think item exclusivity is super important. I think that they've kind of gone the wrong way with this. Like in the past, they had the treasure items and stuff, and then like they have like the Pen Fallen God. Well, that's too exclusive. That's too much, right? Because it encourages pay to win. People don't really want to see that. Like it's the Pen Fallen God's like, okay, yeah, like give me a break. But like again, seeing something like an Orzeka back in the day, or seeing like a blue Orzeka or a green hued Orzeka or an orange hued Orzeka's, anything like that with like a new title or something, this is super low effort content, and people would love to see stuff. Whoa, how'd you get that? You know what I mean? Like, how'd you get that? Like that extra aura, you know, around Like, that's what you want. Yeah. In an MMO, that's what we're looking for. We're playing in a fantasy world. It's like a Second Life kind of deals. That's what we're looking for. You want to have, like, the exclusive stuff. You want to feel important. That's what everyone's kind of going for.
What do you think about exclusive items which you cannot get anymore, such as, like, the Black Pegasus or the Lion's Ring, where it's just, like, one person? Do we want more events like that, or would they make us feel like that's like a, you know, impossible thing that we would never ever go for?
I'm totally okay with them giving away like a one item thing to like adventurers who did something that was worth what the item is, right? If they bring back like Mysteries of Summer, for example, heck yeah, man. I would love to see them give away like a one time item that only that player has. You know what I mean? Like, because that makes it like really cool. Yeah. It makes it like really, really cool.
I like that for Mysteries of Summer, there still is a lot of people running around with some of those exclusive titles, because you don't see that very often anymore. Wait, I'll see like what is it, like a Soul titles from one of the first ones, and I'm like, dang, that's like an OG. Like, the Darkness
title,
like, this is someone that, like, you know, went crazy. Because I didn't even do those back in the day. I was like, this is insane. I'm not doing any of this stuff. Boy, do I regret it now, since the only titles we ever get are Blue and Yellow, and there's nothing else. I think you can get what, the orange one with Nuvercant, which is cool, because people still ask what that is, because some people, new players, don't know. And then you get Vengeance is one of the only ones I ever went for back in I think it was one of the last Mysteries of Summer we did, because we haven't had one since then, which is like 3 or 4 years ago. And that one was really fun. Really, really, really enjoyed that one, because it felt like a real achievement to do that. And then you got something that is still pretty like exclusive. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's something worth striving for. And I think that's a good motivation for players to want to do those things, especially when, you know, it's not coming back. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of like limited time events and limited time things. Like, I'd like to always be able to work on something and progress on something personally. But when you do have those summer long events, I do think that, like, you know, you really want to push for it. Like, oh man, it's a really good way to motivate players to play the game during that time and to do the thing. You know, you don't want them to stray off the path, I guess, right? And that's I think a good way to motivate players, have fun and play the game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that as far as item availability goes, yeah, things are going to become more common over time. But again, I just gave a very simple solution. There's a number of different ways they could kind of go with it without devaluing everyone that's already achieved it, like their, you know, sacrifice in trying to get the item. We'd also love to see, again, more of those like treasures that really don't mean anything for your gear score. Again, it's better if it doesn't give stats, because then it's even more of a flex.
And then they can't make a reason to be like, oh, well, we have to kind of like sort of pity the system because it's a requirement. You know, like that's essentially what the pots were. The pots were back in the day, it was unreal getting that potion. It felt like a whole new piece of armor, because I wasn't like, you know, my fairy was set to like 50% back in the day. And, you know, once I got the pot, you set that baby up to 95 and then you're cracking, you know, like you didn't want to set it, you know, low, because you didn't need to anymore. You could sit at full health all the time, and that's a pretty good freaking feeling, you know what I mean?
Completely
and
agree.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
no, do we want more items like shiny alchemy stones to be more available, or do we still want to keep them? Do we feel like we should keep them as like that really exclusive thing that only a crazy person will go for, like falling gods and stuff?
Well, you have to kind of break down what makes the shining alchemy stones so rare. It's literally because it's like you have to hit 3% after 3% after 3%, and it has to succeed three percent in a row or whatever, or else it blows
and it
up.
It breaks like
and it literally disappears. That's like Archeage level, like destroying your gear to get the best in slot item, which is freaking rough. Especially in a game where we have some systems designed to protect that. You know, it's not like I know people are trying to click those things, but like out of the last like 5 years, how many people have clicked those? I think like how many have been made? You know what I mean? Like Leduc, I think, is like the only documented one. You know, we don't see people. I mean, you don't see people linking it in world chat, I guess, but people would probably if they had it, you know. So
I completely agree. If we look ahead to our next topic of discussion here, we talked a little bit about item availability / exclusivity. But if we look over towards Jay's suggestion was to talk about Awakening versus Succession versus Ascension classes. How do you guys feel like the game is balanced right now? Personally, I feel like Ascension classes are just huge W's. I think it makes the game much more approachable for a new player. I think it's the way to go. I think that's the way that they should design most classes moving forward, in my opinion. I like that more.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think at the point in the game we're in, I think there's more than enough classes to have something for everyone. And then I think that Ascension should be the way to go. I think it's easier to balance. I think it's easier for them to manage the numbers. They don't have to make like a busted, you know, movement kit with Awakening that then has really good or pre-Awakening movement kit that then works with the Awakening kit. So then they have to balance the Awakening to go around the movement from the pre-Awakening. And it becomes this whole mess of like trying to balance. And then you inherently nerf one to nerf the other. And
I feel apologize. Like
Ascension...
I have to explain. People are misunderstanding what Ascension means. So, guys, Succession, basically, you just use the main hand weapon on your class. Awakening means you're probably going to use both, but you're primarily going to be on the Awakening weapon. Ascension is a lot like Scholar or Archer, where both kind of aspects of the kit kind of feed into each other all the time. The skills kind of happen naturally. So, you start off with down F. On your scholar, and you've got two hammers, but by the end of the skill, you've got your sledgehammer out, right? The
flows you flow just, into you both.
Yeah, it just flows back into Awakening, and then it switches back to Succession for you. Kind of like that.
Plus, it feels great. I mean, the scholar class is probably one of the most best-feeling classes I've ever played in the game, and I've played at least half of them, you know what I mean, through Succession and Awakening, and it just feels so smooth, and it's really satisfying the way her class is designed. I mean, obviously, I think it comes down to that as class design, whether or not it's going to feel good, like, design-wise, but I think that scholars should be, like, the star example of, like, how classes should feel when you're playing it if they're going to do Ascension style. Because it's just really, really fun, too.
Yeah, I mean, Jay, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like Ascension is basically the way to go, or what's it like?
Is it too much to ask for all three? Because I like having choices, as many choices as possible. Like, I like both Succession, Awakening, and the idea of Ascension classes for everybody. Maybe it's a bit difficult to balance around, but I always love like having just many different choices. I still love Succession, to play Succession, love to play Awakening with the weapon swapping. That's also another topic I wanted to lean into, was like the idea of weapon swapping, because I had this conversation the other day with a viewer about the hit. They wished Awakening was its own kit with no weapon swapping, and because they hate weapon swapping, and we got to this interesting conversation about the idea of Succession kits, Awakening kits, and Ascension kits just having their own spec, like just no like in between. For me, I personally like the idea of weapon swapping. I might be different on most people on this, but I feel like I get the most out of my class by utilizing both kits. It's like, I mean, I've always thought of the pre-awakening kit as and the awakening kit as two different, like, I guess, like toolboxes in a way you have access to, whereas Succession is just like one singular toolbox. And your combat in both PvE and PvP can be viewed as like different jobs, and some jobs might have the right tool in a certain toolbox. And perhaps it might just be the classes that I've played that made me feel that way, which the main three that I play has been, Witch for 5 years, and now I rolled over to Wusa, and I have Shy as a tag. Witch's pre-awakening abilities offered a lot of, like, ranged DPS options, support utilities such as heals and buffs. Wusa's pre-awakening offered a lot of quick burst DPS options, self-sustained, protected abilities, and even a movement speed buff for you and your allies. And for Shy, well, pre-awakening is, the main DPS tool. And Awakening is the support tool, right? We didn't really have a choice. But yeah, I mean, so swapping weapons just felt like really ingrained into the classes that I played. I don't know if this is the case for all the classes. But again, I've always thought as the pre-awakening kit as part of the awakening kit. And so, but do you like the way Awakening is handled with the weapon swapping? Do you like the idea of weapon swapping, or would you prefer Awakening to just be its own kit?
No, I think, like you said, it's good to have both. But like, see, right now we have a lot of classes that can be Succession or Awakening. We have a lot of that, right? You have a lot of choices. What you don't have a lot of choices on are the Ascension classes. There are only Scholar and Archer. Like, technically, like Shy does. I don't really count Shy as an Ascension class, but like, I'd love to see more classes like that, especially with new players. We have a lot of new players kind of coming to the game over time. I think it makes the game a lot more approachable. It makes the classes easier to learn. It doesn't take away really from any of the PvP at all. And then if you really want to sweat, you've always got Ninja. You've always got Sork. You've always got Dark Knight. You've always got the, like, you can go Awakening or Succession on any of the older classes in the game. But, like, more, like, easily, like, the reason I like Scholar is because it's really easy to approach and pick up and play as a new player. And although that's possible, we saw that with, like, Succession Megu, they kind of nailed it in that case, too. I like when they design a class, if they're going to go for Succession or Awakening, I like when one aspect of the kit is, like, super sweaty. Mm-hmm. Witch is a great example. Succession Witch is really sweaty, high APM, like, Duelist, Giga Chad, like, big, a really high skill ceiling, and then Awakening is like the lowest effort, easy peasy class to pick up and play. It's like super easy. So like, I like it when they kind of do like compare contrast like that, because it helps players not burn out, in my opinion, because they still want to play their class, but now they want to be sweaty, and now I kind of want to take it easy. They'll just switch specs as opposed to like trying to tag something different. I think the players just kind of enjoy the game more when there's that kind of split. At least I do. In that case, I don't know. Blonde, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like there's enough Ascension classes, or?
Yeah, that was something I was going to say, is like, I think it's tough when, like, I want more Ascension classes, and I know it means that we're taking away from variety, or I want to try something different, but I feel like Ascension classes are maybe the next step into moving into Rabam's being more class identity, right? You have you have a really cool ability to, every class from now on is an Ascension class, but what you can do is make all the Rabam's change fundamentals about the class, you know what I mean? Rabam's don't have to be like, oh, it's a movement skill because we realized we didn't put enough movement, or oh, it's a CC because we didn't put enough CC or something, or a heal, here's your backup heal. I feel like when you create Ascension classes to like kind of bridge the gap between like not feeling like you have an identity that's like, you know, or variation, or just something a little different of a play style, I feel like you could fill that in with Rabam's. I think that that could be the bridging gap to make it feel like more you know, like fun in that aspect. I think that's probably the way if they're going to do it. But I don't know. I think that they really still like designing other classes like Awakening and Succession. I think that they, the problem I see is that the balancing mostly comes from having to juggle those, where Awakening, for at least I guess PvP's sake, kind of feels imbalanced for some classes because they have the double the movement kit. And I almost wonder if like separating them completely and just designing movement for Awakening and designing movement for pre-Awakening would be the play, because then you would not have maybe one broken aspect on one part of a class affecting the other part of the class, but you're still getting to choose between whether you want to go Succession or Awakening, but you're primarily using those weapons from now on. I think that would, if we, you know, if we were to go in a certain direction, that could be the way, or Ascension, and then you have like more Rabam abilities that like let you differentiate, or branch in the skill trees. You know how like, what is it, Succession, Wizard, and Witch, they can choose between two different abilities at the end of their tree. I almost wonder if that's like the path for Ascension, so that way you feel like you have a choice. Obviously, the choice is going to be whatever ability is 1% better, I'm going to choose that. But even then, you could design abilities to have different things. Like, if you're going to go to a grind spot that has massive packs, you want big AoE. So I'm going to go the big AoE build versus the single target, I'm doing a dungeon run, so I want to nuke the boss run. Like, I feel like the door is open to do those things. Whether or not they're going to do it is kind of entirely up to PA and whether they're motivated to do that to get people to play more classes, right?
Yeah, I mean, how do you guys feel about head potential? Okay, I know this is going to sound crazy because I like the Ascension version of a class, but like also, how do you feel about like, they keep adding skills to the game, like one or two skills here, one or two skills there, to everybody, whether it be through the Magnus or your Rabam skills. Personally, one of the most exciting times in the game for me was when they added Succession. I would rather just see them add another tree of potential things for the classes.
That could be it too. Yeah, so that way, you know, if you've been playing a class for so long and you've always wanted to try some of these new classes, but you don't want to pull from your class, but you're kind of maybe getting a little stale on it, introducing a whole new tree that like is like a new weapon, not maybe in a weapon slot, but like a different skill set entirely.
That's the main weapon.
The offhand tree. They could really do. I think that would be really cool, because then, because there's a lot of people that don't want to roll off their class, but do feel like they're getting kind of like, I just want to try something different. I'm just, you know, I've been playing this class a lot and I kind of want to do a little bit of something else. You know what I mean? I think that would be a perfect idea, but that we have so many classes, it would be
there's 20.
It would be an absolute cluster to ask them to do that, but I would like something like that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like they can do, like, how do you guys feel like the new class is going to be? Do you feel like it's going to be another Ascension thing, this pipe class thing?
I hope he's Ascension, honestly. I just think it, Scholar was so well, and if that's the benchmark they're setting it for, then cool. But I know that doesn't PA have a team for each, like, it's like a head person for a team for a class, so, like, honestly, it's kind of up to them, right? Isn't, like, every new person assigned a, you know, the person that makes the class is, like, their baby, so they're going to do it how they want. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to have a standard of classes where this is, like, how it's going to be, or if they're going to do, like, all right, this guy wants to design this crazy, wacky class. We're going to give him all the resources, and he's going to do whatever he wants, and, you know, they're going to invent something new. Not Ascension, not Succession, not Awakening. We're going to do, you know, Descension. And I don't know, something crazy. Where
Descension.
You know, I don't know. You know, who knows? It's their baby, mm-hmm. right? They get to kind of do what they want, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, we haven't really received any information on it, and I'm sure that that's intentional. I'm sure we'll probably get more information when we get closer to the ball, which is in, what, like, 2 months?
Yeah.
Something like that? Oh, yeah. Or a little less than 2 months?
Last week of June.
Yeah. That's our... Either of you go... Blonde, are you going?
I am not going. I mismanaged and misprepared, and some other stuff happened, so I'm not going to be able to go. But next time, we're preparing for next time. I'm going to get my passport. I'm going to get everything situated. And anytime there's another thing, I definitely want to go. Because I had a blast during Oasis, and I 10 out of 10 want to do it again. So.
Yeah. And we know that Jay doesn't actually leave the house, so you're not going either, right, Jay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we're going to get him a masquerade outfit, and he's going to come.
Truly. Masquerade outfit. That's kind of what Zirden did the one time he showed up to an Oasis event.
That's exactly what he did, and we can do that with Jade too.
That's crazy.
We'll get him a Phantom of the Opera mask, and we'll just get him to go.
Just warning, if
I
you come,
the ball was like originally a masquerade ball. Don't they have like the Heidel masquerade like costume in the game for all the classes or something like that?
True. Oh yeah, but that outfit's garbage.
Oh,
well. Tell me when that outfit is not garbage. No one wears that outfit for a reason. It's because none of us bought it because it's crap. It's just like the Puff Mini. No one likes that either. Also garbage. Okay, now we look ahead towards like the Gunner class. I think the Gunner class will be an Ascension style class. I think that it almost has to be.
Really?
Well,
you know. Okay, yeah, go ahead. I got some ideas too.
I think it's going to be the classic gunslinger, double pistol, like girl thing that we see in Lost Ark and the other MMOs. I think it's going to be basically the same thing because that's what they were referencing when they talked about
it. Have you played the gun classes in Lost Ark? There's like four different ones and they play very differently.
Yeah,
so
but
I'm
talking about the Misfortune.
Which one are we talking about?
I'm talking about the MF one, the Misfortune one.
Okay.
When she does like a spin and like shoots all the guns and stuff.
Okay, so you're talking about the gun rotating class, because there's two specializations, right, in each of those classes. You can choose one where you just specialize on one gun, but then there's also one that rotates between a shotgun, a sniper, and two guns. That would be pretty crazy. Could you imagine? It's an Ascension bait, because this was my thoughts, is it's not Succession or Awakening, it's Ascension, but you're rotating between different stuff. And like that, like basically, you could copy and paste the class from...
It just has a bunch of guns or something?
From Lost
Ark. Like Philios.
Yeah, and you wrote, like Aphelios from League of Legends, where you're rotating and they empower each other, right?
No, no, not like Aphelios, bro. Everybody that locks in Aphelios, pro. No one has any idea what I do. Cons. I have no idea what I do. Okay. Like, it's too complicated. No one understands what he does. He just dies all the same,
perfect.
Just like the other AD carries.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? So it could be bad and it wouldn't matter, but it'd be fun. You know, we get like a Marnie, you know, Marnie works and taps into some magical item where he basically has some sort of like sage technology mixed with some Marnie technology. And it's like some ultra transforming thing where he shoots like magic bullets or something. Could you imagine? That would be so sick.
Yeah, that
would
be
so cool.
It would be interesting. Now, like the Pipe class is the first male class we've gotten in a long time.
Very long time.
Now,
years,
we didn't...
Right?
Yeah, we didn't really talk about like the fact that we like legitimately have not seen a male class in some time. But like, I don't know. We all thought that the hammer class was going to be a male class too. I don't even know if I can't even think of another
the
game.
Class is actually a female, by the way. So
no shot. Huh? Is this an archer situation? Am I being catfished?
Oh yeah. You're right. Yep. Jay Kuhn is right. You're right.
It's just from the thumbnail. Just, you know,
he's a femboy.
You don't want to assume it's 2024. You know?
Listen, that's cool. I'm with it.
One thing, you're joking. But there's one thing that like the Korea. It's not just Pearl Abyss, but it's just Korea in general. They do not mess around with that stuff. There is a reason that the classes are gender locked. In the game, they do not mess with that stuff.
Play around.
In the United States, man, it's crazy, man. You just flip a coin. But like over in Korea, they do not mess around with that stuff. Like it's crazy. So I do think that the new Pipe class is 100% going to be a dude. Do you think he's going to fight with the Pipe, or do you think it's like the Wusakane situation?
It's Wusakane. It's magic through the weapon.
Probably, yeah. It's
because he's a third.
He's a Wudo.
A Wudo. Yeah.
Do class, something like that.
Like Do wielder. He's a Do wielder. Like bread Do, but Do as in D-O from D-O. The Land of the Morning Light. It's like the third magic style that they have from Megu and Wusa. So it's probably going to be very similar to their style.
Yeah, honestly, if you know, worst comes around, we can always just watch Chris Pauly's channel so we know what it's not going to be.
True.
As we get closer to it.
Very
true.
Like every single time, leaks for the new class, and it's like I typed into the AI what the new class for BDO is going to be, and this is the sound that came out. Like, what are we talking about? But yeah, no, I think the new class is going to be interesting. I will definitely play him when he comes out. Do you guys, like, he looks like he's going to be Yasuo.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Buck. I think that he's basically going to have the 0-7 power spike. This is appealing to like the ninjas and the kunos who start out 0-14 and then bring it back in the node war. But the only thing that made it into the montage was the 3-piece that they got. You know what I mean?
You know it. I 100% believe. Yeah. What kind of abilities do you think the smoking pipe's going to have? I know we talk about the dough wielding magic with the weapon being like, oh, he's like going to shoot out abilities or magic. But what do you think that the offhand's going to do? Like, could you imagine them using like an effect that like blinds your screen as like a player or disorients you know?
It was other players as crazy and reduces their stamina.
I know people definitely are theorizing he's going to have like a massive slow because of the smoking, but I don't know. Could you imagine like someone blinding your screen with like a smoke cloud?
I mean, video always like does a pretty good job of making some of the newer classes have really cool. For example, Scholar, her gimmick is like gravity and height, jump height, and stuff like that. Right,
yes.
It scales with her jump height. For Megu, it's the clone situation, right?
Yeah.
With misdirection, that mechanic, right? And then for Wusa, it's the reflect damage, right?
So. That's,
the new guy's blazing.
Cool, yeah, I was gonna say for this guy, he literally just gets a super. He gets all of the Infinity Stones on 420 every year.
Oh, no. Could you imagine they would have released on 420?
Bro, they could do that for April Fools. I'm not even joking. They could do something like that for April Fools. It would go super hard. That would be crazy. Everybody's running around with the Infinity Stones, but they only have like they expire in 30 minutes, so you have to pop it right away. Kind of deals, and everyone's just running around blasting each other. That would be crazy.
Okay.
They only drop on Arsha.
They have the group teleport, right? Could you imagine a group stealth? They got it in World of Warcraft. The rogues had a group stealth.
They've got that in Naraka too. They've got Mitari. You can make your allies go invisible for a period of time. Right, still targetable, but invisible. That would be interesting.
Dude, could you imagine the backdoor sort of plays with something like that?
Bro, you're not backdooring anything like that, bro. Because the second anyone touches you, you get knocked straight out of stealth, bro. They're spamming AoEs all the time in large scale PvP.
We go around the other side, far out. Let me go behind.
And congratulations, they just ran to your base and killed you. Yeah.
We're the elite X squad. We're the flex.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus, bro! They're in fantasy land. Sorry, yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, this is like my PvE or fantasy for PvP. That sounds like so much fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's how it works, though.
What have you guys heard about the new node war changes? We'll talk about them briefly here. I know that you guys aren't.
No, I haven't.
You shut your mouth. He just doesn't want to get flamed in the comments, guys.
Remember the whiteboard?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, I love when he whips out the whiteboard. That's how you know he's really cooking.
Yeah. He's cooking.
He's cooking, really cooking something. He's like, it'd be better if I just drew you a picture, and you're like, oh dear. Oh boy. Like, dude can't even explain it to us. So basically, we do have some new node war changes coming. Let me say, like, I'm gonna appeal it to you as like a PvEer. So he's like, again, this is meant to appeal to PvEers to get more people to participate in Node Wars. Essentially, you spawn at town. No one starts with a fort. There's forts spawn up. If there's like five guilds on the node, three forts will spawn. Okay? And it's based on how many guilds spawn in. All right, everybody spawns a town, like a designated town or whatever, and then you have to run out and you have to capture a fort, you have to kill it. And then you have to try to hold on to that fort and not let other people, because if another guild tries to come in and they kill your fort, they get control of it. And you have to try to hold control of it until time runs out, because, you know, they're different. I'm sure you guys know how, like, the different times kind of run out over the node war. So, like, one fort will expire at 20 minutes, the next one will expire at 40 minutes, next one's at 30, you know, 50, etc. So, like, I don't know, it seems interesting. I think it takes all the fun out of node wars for someone like me, because I'm a shot caller. I like the really engaging, like, chess match that I'm playing with the enemy guild, but, like, you know, it does take a lot off leadership's back as well. Does that sound like something interesting for you guys? It's kind of just an RBF.
Didn't they say something about Devos dropping from it?
Did they?
This dude. Wasn't... My God, man. You already have all your Devos.
Did I misread something like that?
I think you misread it. No, I don't think that they have Devos dropping from Node War. That's just not a thing. Dang.
That'd be crazy, though.
Yeah, they did talk about... They did talk about some of the rewards, but I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do with it. Node War was also reduced to 1 hour, so, like, all of the content creators that do... content for Node Wars, like, specifically, yeah, they're all down tremendous. In this case, so I don't know. Does it make it sound like it doesn't sound very exciting for you guys? You guys don't sound very excited about it.
I mean, I don't really do RBF that much. Again, the only reason I did Node War back then was kind of honestly because of the Akrod. For some reason, you have to do Node Wars to get Akrod crystals, and I did, and like, you know, I did try my best to put in as much into the war effort as possible to help my team, and then when we finally took a break, we've taken a break and definitely
like kind Pied of Piper.
Oh my God, bro.
So, I mean, if they add something exclusive in a way, let's say, I don't know, like a Node War costume, that would be something that would motivate me as a PvEer to try and acquire, because I am a completionist. I do like doing completionist things, so maybe adding some sort of, you know, something that doesn't really affect the game, but, you know, something for a completionist like me, because PvEers, a lot of PvEers are like very completionists. I mean, at least
goal oriented.
Yeah, goal oriented. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I think I don't know. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I don't want to really kill players. I like the option. I just
I'm kind of
really
turning into that too, to be honest.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think I don't know if I'm like the old age. You know, veteran is just like, it's crazy. I don't know. A PvE Node War sounds like freaking fun, though. Could you imagine
monsters coming out of portals?
You got like a bleeding portal. All of a sudden, a big ogre comes out. All right, we need everybody.
And
group one, group two.
You just watch them. Bro, you just watch the ogre. I just want to watch it walk up to my guild and just wipe like six people. They just get
like
absolutely murked.
Like a golem's
gold, you know what I mean?
Smash the arm, nuke the fort, you know? That just sounds so much more fun than like
to
outthink someone, you know what I mean? Or do politics. Like, ugh. Gosh, I gotta figure out how to get a good fight rather than doing a PvE Node War where it is just designed to be a good
fight.
Right, yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm really surprised they haven't pushed into this system, unless it's something they're working on in the background. They talked about doing a bunch of new stuff, right?
They have the best combat in the genre. Okay, what they're realizing is, man, when they started, it was, man, our combat's really good. We should expand on our PvP systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what they're realizing is, man, our combat's really good. We should just expand on our PvE systems, and there will be less toxicity, and people will try our game more. Because here's the brutal truth is that in the greater, like the greater MMO sphere, no one really cares about PvP. MMO players are generally a little bit more relaxed. Not to say that everyone doesn't care about PvP. There's always going to be people that love to be competitive like that. But, like,
of course,
there's ways to be competitive while being way less toxic, and that is working cooperatively towards a PvE goal. Yeah. In this case, like, large-scale PvE or a raid or something. Like, people love that content way, way more than they love, like, Node Wars and Siege for any MMO. It's always like that. There's always going to be more people doing raids and Siege then there will be, I mean, like, raids and, like, large-scale PvE content, then there will be, like, in the PvP content. Yeah, the PvP content can be large-scale. You can have hundreds of players, but there are tens of thousands of players playing the PvE content.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I would really love to see a system like that. With all the new stuff they're talking about bringing back, like, Altar of Blood, reworking the Witch's Token Shrine thing, There's like a bunch of then we have the group guild activity. I feel like they're definitely resurging this this vibe of like cooperating and doing like group activities and pushing more of that. That I think on the horizon is a PvE fort sort of node war thing coming in. I think that.
Oh God, please, dude.
I've never been like. I don't like having requirements in a guild like, oh, you have to go to XYZ Node Wars, but I understand that that's what keeps the guild alive, because otherwise, mm-hmm. if everything was optional, people would just never do anything. You kind of have to make certain things mandatory in scheduling. But I think that, you know, like, and you could even scale the PvE Node Wars because you're not relying on another player to fulfill that gap, right? You could do like, oh, we've got 20 people tonight. Okay, we're going to do a 20 set or a 30 set or a 40 set. And it just like scales appropriately. I feel like the design is... it's so there with the way the game's there. It's just it can be really tough. Maybe even more of an advanced or even a smaller scale War of the Roses. Could you imagine like a something where it's like involved, where it's like sort of a King of the Hill, sort of the Capture the Flag, where you're like racing against the other team, but you can kill the other team, but you're also killing other monsters? Like, you know, I don't know. There's so many different ways they can kind of approach it, and I feel like the doors are wide open, especially because the people are primed for the content. I think now more than ever, people are super PvE brained to be motivated and go for this stuff, and if they set the right incentives, it'll just get the players ready to go, you know?
Circling back to the progression of the, you know, from our first topic about the availability of like everybody's getting so much more gear now, it's a lot easier,
right?
I mean, this is like the perfect time to probably create a content for all those people who have so much gear now, right?
Definitely.
You're talking about Gambit in Destiny without being Gambit in Destiny, okay? Because
sort of,
they didn't manage Gambit super well.
Gambit to the people who
so it's a PvE it's like a PvEvp game mode, so essentially what you're working towards, you're trying to finish your PvE goal. You have to kill like the mobs and finish your objectives before the other team. And they are right next to you in like a different realm. There's like an invisible wall separating you two. However, every once in a while, as you're working towards that goal, a portal will open and you can go, like you can send one person on your team to go disrupt the enemy team's PvE and basically PvP them. And basically slow them down or throw them in reverse, right? And then that person comes back and your team keeps working. Gambit was, in my opinion, it was a lot of fun, but Gambit kind of flopped because they didn't manage it super well. I think that in BDO, I think they could make it work super well. People love PvE, people love PvP. The problem in Destiny is that was not the case. People did not like PvP nearly as much in Destiny. PvP was a meme in Destiny 2.
Yes.
And the PvE was also kind of a meme, like the grind in PvE in Destiny. Huh, I can't wait to do 80 more strikes. Like, it was a joke, dude. Not the 800th time you've done it. You're all just trying to get ready for the raid. What Destiny did really, really well was the raid content. Because, again, people like PvE content. Like, especially that we have to work together and really work together. Like, everyone has to do their job or we will wipe. You know what I mean? Not like the dungeon where I can literally just half-ass it every single week and, like, literally learn nothing and we still get through the dungeon no problem. Right.
Did you ever do the Oryx raid from Destiny 1?
No, I never played Destiny 1.
Oh man, dude. You basically were landing on a ship in space and like you had to traverse. So like not only was it PvE stuff, but there were puzzles. Like you had to do jump puzzles where like a wall was like slanted and you had to like jump on like portions of the wall. And if you had like certain weapons, you could boost yourself up certain ways. There's so many. Oh man, dude. That was, oh my god, such a fantastic time. The raids were 10 out of 10 out of any game I've ever played. They were fun the whole way through.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, most of the Destiny raids were some of the better experiences I've had in raiding, and I was like, okay, so this is why people like raids. Keep in mind, I'd played BDO for a fair amount of time at that point when I started playing Destiny, but, like, I had never experienced a PvE raid before because BDO never had raids. Like, people talked and raved about the raids in, like, Final Fantasy and Lost Ark and WoW and stuff. Well, not Lost Ark at the time, but nowadays Lost Ark. But, like, I never really got a chance to experience that stuff aside from watching people do it, and it looked really fun. But, like, I was just never progressed enough in those games to kind of get it done. Destiny was the first game that I did that in. And I think that they really nailed that content. I think BDO could, too. Again, it comes down to, like, how intricate is your combat system, right? Okay, it's super intricate. They are able to do this stuff. They're able to make it work. They just, for whatever reason, they still have all of their end game is all focused on PvP. When a new player comes into your chat and they ask, hey, what's the end game content? Is it all PvP in this game? What do you tell them? Blonde, you answer first.
I'm sorry, say it again. You said it so fast.
When a new player comes into your chat and asks, what is the end game content in this game? Is it only PvP?
No, I mostly tell them. So if they're, I tell them it's a grind game. Yeah. But if they're right. interested in PvP, you could do it, and that's like sort of the goal. But other than that, I kind of tell them it's a grindy game. That's kind of the deal. It sucks that I feel bad for people that have talked about constantly how BDO has always been marketed as a
PvP game.
Oh, it's a PvP game. It's a PvP game. But nobody, like, it's a minority in actuality. And I feel bad for people that still are passionate about the part of the game, because I feel like it's just kind of like, it's fun, but it's definitely not what most people are doing, like, at all. You know?
Maybe that was the case, like, back then. Like, when I was looking into Black Desert, it was, you know, again, heavily advertised as a PvP game. And that's what I kind of started working towards in the very beginning when I started in 2018. Was Same. Getting my gear up to do that.
And he's PvP, still working definitely... toward it, guys. He's almost at the gear score. At the gear score, guys, where he can actually do PvP.
I remember doing
so
that.
Close, guys.
The game's kind of changed, though, you know what I mean? It's done this... Yeah. Back in the day, we had a lot less channels, we had a lot less spots, and so people had to PvP, but that was the fun, is like fighting over your spot. And I feel like, because now there's so much progression and so many hours to push into progression, and back then there were still a lot of hours, but the gear just was different in the always as it is in the beginning. It was different. Like, the fun was the fighting with people to get the resources. Now I feel like that doesn't really exist as much. People are just caring about their time because they know they're gonna have to dump a large amount of hours. And I wonder if there's like a weird balance of like, well, if we make things faster and easy to get, then people won't push for so much time and then they'd wanna fight over stuff. But I don't think that's necessarily the case, because then they would just make another goal and then push for something else. Or they would go to a different spot and push for something else. I feel like it worked in the original game, and the game just evolves past it, and it doesn't really work that way anymore. And it's tough to admit, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah. So now it's time to move on to the cooperative PvE content that we all have been asking for years.
Your time is over, old man.
Again, the end game content, the end game group content in the game. Think about it. Like, if a player came into your chat and asked for the end game group content in the game, there is nothing. Like, we're gonna get, like, I have to tell them, yeah, we're gonna get the guild boss blitz soon. But like, that's basically it, aside from all the PvP, right? Like, where I'm talking about, is there end game PvE content? Sure, but it's all solo stuff. We want to work, we do want more stuff. The game can already be played solo. We don't need necessarily more solo content. Yes, people love to be able to play BDO solo. They can already do that. It's the people that do want to play together. Those people don't have enough content to play. Like, there's just not enough there. Anyway. That's my two cents on it. We are running out of time here, so we'll go ahead and do closing thoughts here. Let's go ahead and start with Jay.
Closing thoughts is that more PvE content. And you can find me over at twitch.tv, so Jay can VTV for the T.
There you go. All right. Nice.
There you go.
The blonde bear exit. All right, blonde. Yeah. Blonde, this is your chance to outdo him for once.
Yeah, but there you go. Go ahead.
I think there's a lot of things on the horizon, and I'm excited. I want them to continue doing stuff, and the only way to kind of show PA that we want this kind of stuff is to, you know... Sorry, I'm getting choked up.
You crying?
No.
You good, bro?
We have to get players to play the game, and I feel like right now a lot of people are playing the game, and so we just kind of have to keep talking and playing and saying positive things and talk about the hopes and wants and wishes, and those things will hopefully eventually come as they see more people wanting to see those things. You know, I think that the more we sort of talk about things, the more it can kind of become reality. So, you know, when you guys are, you know, scrolling on Reddit or scrolling on a YouTube video or talking in, you know, maybe the Discord or whatever, you know, don't, you know, talk about your ideas, talk about things you want to see in the game, talk about cool, fun things that maybe we don't have that you know, would want.
Talk about it in the comments.
There we go. Mention some cool idea that's unique that you want to see in the comments, and we can talk about it. I think it's, you know, definitely possible that they have the potential to do so much. I mean, they want to go 10 more years, right? We're 10 years deep, and they want to go 10 more. And I think it's possible if they do what the community likes and wants to do. You know, and we can kind of shape that by talking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's definitely possible. So, yeah, you can catch me on twitch.tv/blimber where I'm grinding for the Olin's piece.
Good outro. Good outro.
Good outro. Nice. Outdid Jay that time. Easy peasy. Yeah. And I am Blue Squadron. There's always something happening on my channel. Today we qualified for OTK's top streamer. We're in the top six now.
Woo!
Yeah, so if we win next week, or if we're in next week, then I think we're guaranteed like a pretty substantial amount of money.
Oh my god!
But we'll see. Yeah, I mean, like I think we split. I think the finalists that aren't first split $25,000, and if you're, you know, if it's split among four people, you're talking about $5,000 or $6,000 right there. Pretty sure that's how it works. And then the first place, if we do end up going on, it's for $50,000. So that's really cool. You can check that out. On my YouTube and stuff, I've been kind of going through that. There's two new YouTube videos every single day. Plus, we love covering all kinds of drama and news on this channel. From all of us here at the podcast, guys, make sure you leave comments on the video. It tells us what shows us what we should be talking about next week, what you guys are interested in, the hot takes, the things that you like, the things that you didn't like. We do read all of those comments, so make sure you kind of engage with the video a little bit there. From all of us here at the and it's also on Spotify. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.